You know, it's an exciting time to be part of Champion Forest, and today we kind of kick off the Christmas season, as the choir said to us so well. Christmas is coming, and you know, during this time of the year, we think a lot about things that we wouldn't normally think about. For example, lights. Everywhere you look, I just this past week put lights up in our house, you know, risking my life, climbing up in the trees to put lights up in the trees. And everywhere you look, you see light this time of the year. And I couldn't think of a better year where we needed to be reminded of what it means to be light in a dark world than 2020. You know, it's been a pretty dark year. Some of us have lost jobs. Some of us have lost friends. Some of us have lost loved ones. Some of us have lost hope. It's been a pretty rough year. And you know, today I want us not to focus on the darkness, but to focus on the light. And Christmas is a great time to think about light. As I said, you know, there are all kinds of lights everywhere you look. I have a little basket here just full of lights, and I have these little lights here. And I was thinking, you know, how did the tradition of lights begin? Why do we do lights? Why do we put lights on trees and on our houses? And I started doing a little research, and I found before the invention of electricity, moms of preschoolers, you're going to love this, they would take actual candles with real fire and put them on trees. I'm not sure what that did to their insurance rates, but real candles on actual trees. So then, an interesting fact about that, the idea of putting lights on a tree was actually borrowed by Christianity from a pagan Yule ritual that celebrated the return of light of the sun after a period of darkness, after a long solstice. And the evergreen of the tree symbolized renewal of life and continued life during dark times. So Christianity has adopted that practice, and so the tree still stands for life, for growth in the middle of a dark season, and then the lights, obviously, for us, represent the light of Christ. The first Christmas lights were introduced by Edward Johnson in 1882, and he was a partner and friend of Thomas Edison, and we all know what Thomas Edison invented, right? The light bulb, yes. So in 1895, the idea of Christmas lights on a tree was adopted by President Cleveland when he requested hundreds of multicolored little electric light bulbs to be put on the White House family Christmas tree. Then fast forward a little more, in 1923, President Calvin Coolidge started celebrating Christmas with the first ever national Christmas tree lighting, and at that point, the lights on houses and things became a holiday tradition in the United States. And obviously today, if you look at 2020, if you've been to Lowe's or Walmart or Home Depot, you know that there are lights everywhere you look, all kinds of lights. There are incandescent lights, there are LED lights, there are icicle lights, retro lights, micro lights, rope lights, mesh lights, Christmas light projectors, candle lamps, luminaries, and battery-operated Christmas lights. And there are even lights on a necklace and on a headband. And as I thought about this little necklace here with Christmas lights on it, I thought, who better to have this than Miss Carolyn? Miss Carolyn, this looks like something that you could put with one of your... There you go. So, light is a big deal. And why is light such a big deal? Why is light so important? Here's the thing. Light takes away darkness. Darkness can't remain when light is turned on, and it can't be anything other than what it is. It's bright, it dispels the darkness, and it enables us to see what we're doing, where we're going. It gives us direction. You know, everything in our world depends on light. If you think about it, light is the main source of energy for all living organisms. Plants require light for photosynthesis. Photosynthesis creates oxygen. Sunlight provides vitamin D, which is beneficial to everything from boosting our immune system to our emotional well-being. It's interesting to me that something we don't really even think about, not very many of us are going to go to bed tonight wondering if the sun is going to come up tomorrow. It just is. It just is there. And it's the most valuable resource on our planet. You see, light changes us. And at this time of the year, as we look at the Christmas lights in the trees and on houses, we see a few things about light, and we know that our God is light. 1 John 1:5 says, "Then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." There is no darkness whatsoever in our God. He is all light. And as light, God is completely pure. God is completely righteous. There is nothing impure or unrighteous or dark about our God. First John goes on to say, "If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth." You see, church, to walk in the darkness means that we choose to practice a lifestyle that isn't righteous, that isn't pure, that isn't modeled after Jesus Christ. So to walk in the light requires that we hear the gospel, we see the light, we receive the light, but not only do we hear it, we live it out every day. In other words, it can't only be received and believed, but it has to be lived out by you and me on a daily basis. We also see that Jesus is light. When Jesus was on the earth and people asked him who the Son of Man was, he referred to himself in this way. He said in John 8, "Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" So we see the believer is to walk in such a way that darkness does not overcome us. As followers of Christ, we have to act on the information that we have. We have to act on the light that we've been given so we don't end up in darkness, because truth and light are very closely related. Psalm 43 says, "Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into your holy hill and to your tabernacles." Truth and light are closely related, and God's word is light. Psalm 119, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Also in Psalm 119, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple." And in Proverbs 6, verse 23, we read, "For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life." So church, the primary way we receive light is through God's word. Ephesians 5 says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." In 1 Thessalonians, "For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness." Church, we are light, and we share the character of Jesus, who is light. Our lives are to serve as a light to a world around us immersed in darkness. And when we walk in the light as he is in the light, it changes everything. It changes our perspective. You see, the gospel, the light, is the good news of grace and acceptance. Jesus lived the life that we should live. And church, you and I are not reconciled to God through our own efforts or through our own record, but through his effort and through his record. We trust in Christ for God to accept us, not in our own performance. You and I, we are more flawed and sinful than we dare to admit or believe. But here's the thing, church, we are also more loved and accepted than we ever dared to hope. Tim Keller says it this way: "The gospel is therefore radically different from religion. Religion operates on the principle, 'I obey, therefore I am accepted.' The gospel operates on the principle, 'I am accepted through Christ, therefore I obey.'" I want to read that one more time, quote by Tim Keller. "The gospel is therefore radically different from religion. Religion operates on the principle, 'I obey, therefore I am accepted.' The gospel operates on the principle, 'I am accepted through Christ, therefore I obey.'" Tim Keller goes on to say, listen to this, "A lack of deep belief in the gospel is the main cause of spiritual deadness and pride in Christians." I'm going to say that again. "A lack of deep belief in the gospel is the main cause of spiritual deadness, fear, and pride in Christians, because our hearts continue to act as if, 'I obey, therefore I am accepted,' rather than, 'I am accepted, therefore I obey.'" So this light changes the way we look at the world around us. It changes the way we look at our peers, at our family, at our friends, at ourselves. You see, when we are hurt and we fail to forgive, it's not simply a lack of obedience. It's a failure to understand that and believe that we are saved by grace. If we lie to cover up a mistake, we fail to understand that our acceptance is found in God and not in human approval. And if we judge, we fail to understand that the ultimate and only standard of behavior is Jesus Christ himself. You see, church, light changes our perspective. It changes the way we see the world around us, and it changes our behavior. Ephesians 5 says this, "Therefore, do not be partners with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, 'Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" So if darkness is the absence of light, what pierces the darkness in our world around us? On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says it this way, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." But this light that we are to share, this light that we are to live out, this truth that we are to live, it's not our own. From the very beginning, God has been the source of light, both spiritually and literally. Genesis 1 says, "Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." So imagine with me a world in complete darkness, and then four little words, "Let there be light." And boom, there was light. And here's the interesting and awesome part. That same God who said, "Let there be light," and there was light, has made his light shine in my heart and your heart when we know him. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." As some of you know, a little while ago, I decided to go back to school, and I'm about to finish, actually, in May, pursuing a degree in clinical mental health counseling. And somebody once asked me, why would a worship pastor need a degree in clinical mental health counseling? And I simply said, have you ever met the average church member? No, just kidding. No, the reason I'm doing this is because I have found in my own life counseling to be life-saving, and it has restored me. And if you knew me a decade ago, you would not recognize me today. And I owe a lot of that to the counseling process. But as I begin to counsel people, here's something that I have noticed. I begin to see these repetitive patterns in the life of the believer. Let me show you this way. So sometimes we feel like we have to generate the light ourselves. Take this little crank flashlight here. So in order to get this flashlight to light up, I have to crank it. And then once I crank it, I push the button and it lights up. The only thing is, after about 30, 45 minutes, maybe an hour, what do I have to do to get the light to keep going? I have to crank it again. Well, you know, some of us are kind of like this crank flashlight. We think, I have to find a way to shine. Then others of us are like this light bulb. I read about it on Facebook, so it must be true. So I'm going to read this to you, the inerrant word of Facebook. Listen to this little light bulb right here. Some of us in this room are like this light bulb. The light bulb went to a self-help group to learn about his inner capacity for light. He read books about how to get brighter. Each morning he would get up and look in the mirror and recite positive affirmations. "I am a light bulb. I believe in myself. I will shine." But nothing happened. He couldn't shine. He couldn't light up. Eventually, the light bulb became discouraged. He became weary. Maybe a little bit bitter. He began to doubt who he was and what he could do. And he almost burned out completely. But then one day, this light bulb was carefully placed in a fixture. And light burst forth and filled the room. And the light bulb finally understood the key was not to try harder, but to plug into the source. Church, trying to shine on our own is exhausting. We are simply called to connect to the source, the very God, this baby Jesus who came, to connect to the source and shine brightly in a dark world, and then remain in him John 15:4 says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." And I think this morning, some of us feel like our light has been extinguished for whatever reason. Maybe it's because of our past. Maybe it's because of mistakes we've made. Or one thing I see a lot is shame. We live with a lot of shame. And you know, I believe there are probably those in this room who believe that God can't use us because of something we've done or seen or said or experienced. Sometimes we believe our wounds and our hurts are so deep, whether they're inflicted on us by other people or those we've inflicted on ourselves, we believe they're so deep that God can't use us and that our light has been extinguished. But listen, church, that's exactly why this baby came. That's exactly why this light came from heaven. Because our darkest moments are when he shines the brightest. There is nothing that our God can't use, and there is no circumstance our God can't redeem. And I would pose this question for us this morning. Is it possible that the thing we are the most ashamed of, that the thing that we want to hide in the darkness the most, is the very thing God wants to use to let our light shine brightest? What if that thing that we don't want anyone to know about, what if once given over to the light, once it's been forgiven and redeemed and restored, what if that very thing is what God is wanting to use to let our lives shine like a beacon to the people around us? You see, Emmanuel, God with us, shines brightest on our dark days. And we have this hope because a baby was born in Bethlehem. God's only son, Emmanuel, came, and this hope lives in our heart, allowing us to shine bright. And when we shine bright, especially on dark days, others can see Jesus. And we're living in some pretty dark days right now. But you know what? That's really not anything new for our God. He's been shining his light since the beginning of time. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, it was a pretty dark time as well. Rome was a completely corrupt government, morally and spiritually. Sins were shamelessly committed out in the open. Killing of people in the Colosseum was a major form of public entertainment. Leaders wanted to be worshipped. And anywhere Rome could spread its influence, it spread paganism and darkness. And then there's King Herod, who was just crazy. When you read about King Herod, he was made king by the Roman Senate. He wasn't Jewish, but they called him King of Judea, and he was forced on the Jewish people. Once he was in power, he immediately began killing people. He killed some of the wealthiest citizens, took their belongings. He was incurably ill. By the time we read about him, when the Magi come to visit, he's old and crazy, and he has declared all babies under the age of 2 need to be murdered. And we think this is shocking. This is insane. But it wasn't really all that atypical for the time. Even the good guys, the Pharisees, would prove to be enemies of Jesus. His message would upset them and unsettle them and irritate them until they would finally plot to kill him, to execute him in the most cruel way possible, death on a cross. So, you know, the world was a pretty dark place in Bethlehem. It's for sure not a place that you and I would probably choose to leave heaven and come to. Yet in Luke 2:11 it says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He is Christ the Lord." You see, Christmas means that God was willing to come from heaven to this dark world and bring us the light of salvation. Church, when the Holy Spirit is living inside us, we have everything we need to shine brightly on our darkest days. And sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes the holidays can bring up pain that shiny wrapping paper and songs can't help. And there's some pain that only Jesus can alleviate, because Jesus alone is the one who can light up the weary soul in the deepest, darkest hours. It's this light that we find in Christ that offers you and me the healing and the rest and the peace that we need. And when we're drowning in the depths of darkness, we're drowning in the depths of despair, and our days are dark, or we see people around us who are drowning in the depths, we have to claim John 1:5, which says, "The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Because you see, church, The light changes our perspective and our behavior, but it also changes our reality. So God is light, and he sent his Holy Spirit to live in you and me when we follow him. And we are his ambassadors on earth. Jesus told his followers, let your light shine before others. This is an active call, not a passive call. This is a put your light on a stand and light up the room around you kind of call. What does that mean for you? What does that mean for me? Does that mean we'll never have heartache? Does that mean we'll never have dark days? No, but what I do think it means is this. All of our circumstances, the good, the bad, the difficult, the shameful, all of our circumstances are an opportunity for you and me to shine brightly to those around us and proclaim the overcoming truth of grace, forgiveness, and acceptance that we find in our God. You see, church, the people around us can tell what we believe by the way we live. So the challenge this morning is to let our light shine in the midst of darkness. I believe Jesus wants to walk with us through the dark moments. He doesn't abandon us. He doesn't leave us. And those things that we bring out of the darkness and into the light lose their power. Again, I talk with people in counseling every week who have become slaves to their own history, who have become slaves to their own behavior. And something happens when we come to church. We feel like we have to put on our best Christian face. We have to speak Christianese. And we have to put our best foot forward. And so often, we hide our addictions, our depression, our anxiety, our heartache in the darkness. But you know what, church? That's exactly where the enemy wants you to put that. That's exactly what he wants you to do. If we hide in the darkness, if we isolate ourselves, then the enemy has the power, the enemy has the ability, not so much the power, the ability to say to you, make you think, I'm the only one who deals with this. I'm the only one who's tempted by that. I'm the only one who struggles with this. You see, Satan wants us isolated. Jesus wants us in community. Hebrews 10 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Galatians 6 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then in Ecclesiastes, we read this, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. God, let Champion Forest be a place of genuine, transparent community. I pray that this place is a place where we can let our light shine in our darkest moments, and the light that comes from this place, from the people in this room, would be so bright in those dark moments that our community notices and that the people around us ask what is different, what is going on in that place. You see, when we walk in the light as he is in the light, our entire reality changes because we see ourselves, we see the world around us as Jesus sees it. Ephesians 2 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. 2 Corinthians 5, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. And Romans 8, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. You see, church, we are called sons and daughters of the King, and we have to live and walk and talk as the ransomed, redeemed children of the King that we are. And then finally, light changes our eternity. John 3:16, we all know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Romans 10, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Romans 8, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, church, this light that we celebrate at Christmas, this Emmanuel, God with us, he has come to change everything. He's come to change our perspective. He's come to change our reality. He's come to change our behavior. He's come to change our eternity. And this baby king born in Bethlehem, it's more than just a story. It's more than just a warm, fuzzy feeling we get because we're nostalgic over Christmases gone by. This baby king, this moment would prove to change everything. This light that chose to come from heaven to earth would change the course of history. And church, this morning, what we choose to do with this light, it changes me and it changes you. What we choose to do with this light changes the world around us. What we choose to do with this light changes our eternity. God, we thank you that Jesus came as a baby. We thank you that the light came from heaven to earth. And God, I pray that this morning, as we contemplate what it means to be the light of the world, what it means that light shines in darkness, as we think about the fact that this baby king came and lived a perfect life and died a perfect death so that we could have fellowship with you. God, I pray that we would remember that the light has come. Would you ask the Lord just to speak to your heart this morning? And maybe you haven't known that light. Maybe you haven't ever had a moment in your life where you chose to surrender yourself over to Jesus. Just spend a moment and talk to the Lord. Maybe you're feeling this morning like your light has been extinguished, or maybe there's something in your life that is keeping you from experiencing that fullness, that abundant life that we talked about this morning. Just take a moment and commune with the Holy God. God, we love you and we honor you. We thank you that Jesus came, that he chose to leave the splendor of heaven to come to a dark world and to be light in darkness. And we thank you that when we know you and follow you, we have the light of Christ in our lives. We love you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, today a child is born on earth. Today, the glory of God fills everywhere for all the world to see. He is the King of all nations. He is love. He is grace. He is light.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.